League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So here we go. Welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the KOA Army share their thoughts on all things town. And we have a jam-packed show. We have a Davidson James, good old Matt Macon, and good old Bloomers joining me this week. And we're going to discuss all things town. The third kit is out and it looks very nice indeed. We're unbeaten. Top of the league. Happy days being a town fan at the moment. And we're also going to take a look at the transfer window. We've got 1 week until it slams shut. I'm bringing in my own Heath monster out of me right now because I know he's excited. And of course, Barnsley are in town this weekend at Porn Road. James Norwood comes into town and we'll get right into that later in the show. But let's bring in the man making his debut. It's James. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, pleasure to be here. Can't wait. I can't wait to make my debut. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
And hopefully you can score on your debut. You made a brief cameo in the Needham Market game day, which was a very weird day because it was like it was a pre-season game against Needham Market. We had two different teams playing. We scored loads of goals, but it was a great day, wasn't it?
Oh, it was great. Nice for the boys to get out. And like I said, I think I said it at the time, it was really good for the community, you know, getting all the people at a local club and supporting, you know, the non-league club. And it was great. Absolutely great. Yeah.
Yes, my friend. And the man that is joining you as well is good old Matt Macon, who Forest Green Rovers was the last time I saw you at a game, Matt. And that felt like Needham Market as well. But how are you doing, my friend?
I saw you at Milton Keynes.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last away game you saw me at, Ross.
That's what I meant to say. Last away game. Yeah. Last time I travelled with you to a game.
Yes, yeah, because we were in the Liam from Crew Express, weren't we, on the way there? Yeah. That's a great job. I always recommend the Liam from Crew Express. I know Bono wants to get on that Express. Nice. Yeah, that was a long day, wasn't it, Forest Green? I mean, I'm glad we came away with a win because. I think if we'd thrown that one away, that was a long way home. But always good here. Enjoying the season so far. It's living up to the cautious optimism I had in the summer.
Yes, my friend. And the final man that is joining me, and a man who's actually stayed at the Liam from Crew Hotel as well, and has been in the Liam from Crew Express. It's Bloomers. How are you doing, my friend?
Very good, thank you. Very good. All the best to see you, Ross, and you, Matt. And nice to meet you, James. And it's been a good period of time since my last one of these. I think it was in the middle of the pre-season. So, well, it's a very good start that we've had. And we'll discuss it a little bit more in a bit, won't we? So, yeah, let's crack on.
Yes, let's crack on. Let's not muck about. That's what we don't do on the fan. So we don't muck about. We get stuck right in deep with all things town. Let's talk about the third kit then, James. It's out. Ed Sheeran went rogue. Just put it out there. And it's out there and it looks beautiful. What's your thoughts on the kit itself?
It's absolutely unreal. Honestly, it's one of the finest kits I think I've ever seen, to be honest. It's just... I know Umbro did a couple... I think they did one with Huddersfield in the past. And I remember thinking when our new kits came out, like, please, please, please do one for us. And the fact that it's got, you know, the kind of the album cover on the sleeves and things like that, it is a thing of beauty, an absolute thing of beauty. Yeah, it's incredible.
It is incredible. And Matt, what do you reckon then, my friend? If you watch this on video, you'll see he's got the 2010-11-12 season away kit, which is not too bad. But this kit, whew.
Oh, I mean, I've always loved a little black number when it comes to football shirts. And it was an intentional choice to put that one up in it from the Mitre days. That was actually Soppy alert. That was actually the first town shirt my now wife ever bought me. So it's always got a bit of a special place for me out as well. But yeah, no, I love this one that's come out, you know. And I love the fact that, yeah, okay, it's gone rogue. But I mean, that's what 40 million followers. That's been leaked to, you know, you see that the website pretty much falling over with people queuing up to get on and pre-order it. Same as James. I think the fact it's incorporated some of the design from the album cover is great. It looks nice. I think Heathy said on the pod earlier today, it's a sort of shirt you can almost get away with wearing sort of as a casual shirt. You know, I wear football shirts casually all the time, but you know, sort of, it looks quite smart. A pair of jeans and a decent pair of trainers. You know, it's my bank balance isn't going to like it because I've already picked up the home kit. I'm picking up the away kit as soon as I can afford it, but now I've got another one to contend with. It's going to be a bit costly, but yeah, it's good looking kit, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And Bloomers, I'm going to let you start to rank off and also get your thoughts on the kit. But home kit is beautiful. The away kit is beautiful. The third kit is beautiful. Where would you rank each one? Top, I wouldn't say bottom, but you know, third, second, first. And then your overall thoughts, as always, my friend.
Well, I haven't seen the back in person yet, so I would say this with a grain of salt. But yeah, the black kit will be number one for me. My exact tweet yesterday, by the way, on Twitter was, and this is God's honest truth, as a man who exclusively wears black, white and grey, I don't think you've ever realised this, outside of my Ipswich Town shirts, I only ever wear black, white or grey. So as a man who exclusively wears that, my little goth heart has been going a million miles an hour the last 5 hours. Most people seem to agree. Yeah, I've been waiting for a blackout kit for a long time. And it's right in my wheelhouse, this one. So delighted and hope it looks as good and fits as well as the other ones. And I've already pre-ordered it myself. And I have the home and away, which will make that three kits in one season, which I've never done ever before. In fact, other than the kit we had a couple of years ago with the old crest, the 40-year UEFA Cup one, that was the first shirt of any kind I'd bought in about 10 years. So to buy all three in one season means that they must be doing something right. And judging by the figures that have been coming out, it seems like everyone else agrees too. So yeah, I'd have the away kit third, just not because it's a bad kit, but just because personally, if I'd have known that this was coming out, I wouldn't have bothered ordering it. But yeah. I wore it to five aside last night, so it did come in handy. And then the home kit second, and this new black number top. But it's interesting to see that, yeah, apparently it's broke more records and sold more in a 24-hour period than the home kit did when that was released a couple of months ago. So that's probably unheard of, really. And yeah, I don't know when we're going to wear it, but I'm sure we'll get some. Hopefully we'll get more use out of it than that greyish, bluey one we did 2 years ago, the coral marine, whatever the hell it was. I think we wore that about twice.
Yeah, that's always the fear of fur kits. And that is another question I'm going to bring to you guys. All we need, though, is just some iconic moments in these shirts. It's great to have these shirts and selling them millions and breaking records and stuff. But hopefully we have iconic moments in these shirts, because hopefully at the end of this season, we don't go, oh, God, we didn't get into the playoffs. Oh, they're just kits. They look nice, but we didn't actually do anything in them. But hopefully that I'm all wrong, and hopefully we'll be having some iconic moments. James, third kits, your thoughts?
I'm an absolute kit fanatic. Like, I absolutely love football kits. I've got both the home and the away shirt from when we went down in the Championship, which is arguably the home shirt, one of the worst for ages, but I just have to have them. Third kits are great. I know some people think that they're a little bit pointless. It's just a way to get money off the supporters and things like that. But it's good revenue for the club. And like you say, like it's looking like at the moment, this actually genuinely could be our season. And I know we've said that for God knows how long as Town fans. But like I said, this could be, you know, the three shirts that we go up in back into the Championship. And that would just make them so you know, memorable to so many people. So I'm personally a huge fan. Yeah.
Okay then. Matt, now Bloomer's already mentioned it. Is like, when are we going to use this kit? I'm sure they're gonna use it at some point where we can actually still wear our blue shirt, our home shirt, of course. But they'll go, we haven't used the fur kit yet. Let's just use it. Why not? What's your thoughts on fur kits overall? I know you're a big kit man as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite go down a fanatic route. I'm probably not up there with the elite with kits. You know, I must admit I didn't buy any of the Magical Vegas ones because I wasn't keen with the online gambling sponsorship, but I have particularly picked it up. I think this is Well, the previous two seasons, I've got home and away, which I never used to do before. So the Carers Trust shirts and last year's Ed Tour shirts. And I think this is going to be the season, first season, same as Bloomers, where I end up picking up all three shirts, much to Mrs. Makin's annoyance, I suspect. It's a difficult one with kit, because I think James makes a lot of good points there. You know, it is a nice looking kit. It's great revenue. It's club profit that's not capped off in spending, like sort of the funding that's been put in by Game Changer. So I think that's important, especially to have an edge. We want to get out of this division this season, you know, and the fact that it's being promoted by, whether you like his music or not, and I know, Ross, you and I disagree on the merits of Mr. Sheeran's music, but arguably he's the most popular artist out there at the moment, whether you like his music or not. So the fact that Ipswich Town's third kit, a club in League One, got leaked by the biggest pop star on the planet right now, you know, there will be people. It's going to be a majority of Ipswich fans buying it, but there will be a lot of Ed fans that will be buying that kit as well, because they want a football shirt that's got his tour logo on it. So there is that benefit. On the other hand, there is, like you say, like, as James said, you know, it can come across as a bit of a money grabbing exercise. We're currently in a cost of living crisis. Some people, I'm in a fortunate position, I will be able to afford to buy all three shirts this year. There's some people that aren't. There's going to be kids that want all three shirts, and parents aren't going to afford to. It's a complicated situation. I like the idea of their kits, but I absolutely get where some people, and it's not been unfair criticism, but where there's been some criticism of it. And I don't think we're any different to other. We're not any worse than any other club anywhere, because let's face it, all clubs are doing third kits really these days. I've rambled on a bit there, but yeah, I'm in a position where I like it, but I understand why people might not.
Yeah, I think it's mainly just use the kit, Town. Just use it, playing it. Because like last year, of course,
absolutely.
Because we carry on, Matt. Carry on.
No, I was going to say, absolutely, yeah, using it, sorry, Ross, is key. And the fact that we can buy it this season, because I quite liked that third kit that we did last season with Adidas. And I know some people managed to get hold of it, or they've been able to sort of recreate it with the template, seen a few people rock up to the ground already this season wearing it, you know. But the fact that this time, I think, it's almost seemed again that the club have listened and said, right, okay, people liked our third kit last season and they were a bit nuts that they couldn't buy it. So, you know what, we're putting it on sale. And ultimately, I know I'm arguing with myself here, but I know I've made the point that it might put some people in an awkward position, certainly those who aren't as well off as others. But if you don't want it, don't buy it, you know. If you do want it, buy it. But I do want to see the team playing it more than once or twice, definitely. Definitely.
Now, Bloomers, your thoughts on fur kits, and also, will you become a full kit wanker? Because you also got the black shorts, the black out badge on the shorts as well. I think the socks maybe going to be all black as well. I don't know. I forgot what the socks are going to be now, but yeah.
I mean, I'll wear all black, but I ain't wearing the shorts to go with it.
Yeah.
Oh, you look like a, can I swear? Oh, you just swore. Can I swear? Yep. I knew you did. So you look like a fucking referee. I mean, Matt's kind of summed up every single stance to have, so I'll try and add to it. No one's forcing anyone to buy one. I've got sympathy with parents whose children might want, especially if they've just bought them the home kit or the away kit, then they see this and they decide they want this as well. Completely have my sympathy there. I completely get that. But like, as an adult, no one's forcing you to buy it. You know, you can buy it if you want. And yeah, it's annoying because I wouldn't have got the away kit if they'd have come out at the same time. I'd have chosen the third kit. That point I could understand. But in terms of the actual logistics behind the third kit, it's just, that is football these days. Like, it's maximizing revenue. Can I say I don't agree with it, but then be happy that we've got a football club that's currently spending a lot of money on and off the pitch to do whatever, and the revenue's coming not indirectly from the shirt sales? Well, no, because that's a bit hypocritical, really, isn't it? So it's for people who want to buy it, and people that James said who are kit fanatics, or people that are, you know, heavily into buying kits, not just Ipswich Town, all different clubs as well. You know, if it's your cup of tea, people are probably going to buy it. If you're an Ed Sheeran fan, a super fan, you might end up buying it. So I don't really see the downside, to be honest, other than the things that I said. So, yeah, it's a good piece of business from the club because of how popular it seems to have been. So from that point of view, you can only really say it's been a success.
Indeed. Well, I look forward to seeing the third kit in action for the first time at some point this season. Well, boys, let's move on to 5 games unbeaten, top of the league, singing the praises of Kieran McKenna and co. James, the normal feature on the fan social, Roscoe's favourite, the one word to describe things. What is your word to describe the unbeaten start to the season? 5 games in, still early days. What is your one word?
I'm going to say refreshing as that, because we've been in this position before, as we all know, where we're top of the league, you know, five games unbeaten. But I think for us, it's everything that comes with it. You know, the style of football that we're playing, the confidence that we're playing under the possession game, I absolutely love personally. And I don't think there's, you know, there's much stopping us really if we play the way that we do. It's just about consistency now. That's all it's a matter of. We've got the players. We've got Kieran McKenna, who's an incredible tactician. It's just about staying consistent in our performances on the pitch, really, and kind of down to the players to do their jobs, which they, you know, seem to have been doing for the first 5 games of the season. And for any Town fan, you know, after seeing, you know, Lambert's football and Cook's football, for me, it's just refreshing. So that's the one that I'm going with.
Okay, then. Good word to start off. Matty Macon, what are you going for?
I've gone solid because, and touching on what James said, you know, we've been here before. And we certainly, that first season in League One, you know, we were absolutely shooting it away. And people were using your favourite phrases, which I'm not going to repeat because I fear you'll kick me off the call. but it does feel different this time. It feels like there is a solid foundation that this has been built on. Touching what James has said, we've got the players we want through the door. We've had that evolution rather than revolution this summer. We've obviously had Paul Cook, there was a massive churn of players before the start of last season, and the whole thing of, and I hate to use the phrase of the time to gel, you know, and we were pretty much, I know nothing's won or lost in August, but we put ourselves really sort of out of contention and chasing the pack quite early doors last season, whereas this season, you know, we've had players come in, we've had players go out, and we'll talk about players that have gone out recently later. But it feels like the way we're playing, you know, we're in control of games. There was a lot of times under Lambert, and to quote the founder from another podcast recently, the litmus test is that Shrewsbury game in the first season where we're 2-0 up at half time, and there's a lot of us, and certainly it's easy, you know, a lot of us going, how are we 2-0 up here? You know, we're not being great, you know, and I think it was a case of, we weren't playing well. We just had a few players of top quality, and we were relying on teams being rubbish. And as soon as teams figured out how to play us under Lambert and under Cook, you know, we get found out, you know, and that first season, you know, everything looked rosy. Everybody's already booking the open top bus and planning where they're going to be on the Cornhill for the parade, and then along come Accrington Stanley, you know, and our friend Andy Holt, and completely derailed it. You know, I feel we're building momentum this time. You know, we're largely in control of games, particularly Milton Keynes, I wasn't at Shrewsbury at the weekend, but from what I've heard, Shrewsbury, we're in control, and even we're winning. You know, we're winning games where we would have gone on and drawn and lost them. Burton is that prime example. I watched that on iFollow, you know, and we were a bit ropey in the first half. So there was some sloppy play playing out from the back, but we stuck with it. And as James said, McKenna's a very good tactician, and he made those changes sort of around the half time in terms of the tactics and how he changed the subs and how Caden Jackson pushed up more on the right when he was playing in that right wing back position, you know. And yeah, we only won 1-0, but we were fairly solidly in control for that second half, really. Burton never looked like sort of getting back into it once we'd scored, you know, and we ground out a win. Whereas last season, games like Cheltenham, we're ahead and we lose. Cambridge away, we're 2-0 up, we draw, things like that. That's the sort of game last season we would have come away and gone, we've dropped points here. Whereas I don't feel that we're going to do that so much. Obviously, this unbeaten run has got to end at some point. We're not going to do an Arsenal and go a whole season unbeaten in the league. But I feel like definitely there's something solid there to build on. And that when we do face a bit of adversity, if we run towards it, perhaps, some might say, you know, like we did with the Colchester Cup game, you know, we came back from that Cup game stronger. And I feel when we do have a game that doesn't go our way and we drop points, even if it's another draw rather than a loss, we're going to come back from that strong. You know, it's not going to derail the momentum like we've seen in the previous three seasons.
Hopefully. So solid, refreshing, Bloomers, what word are you chucking out?
Mine's not really a word. It's more of a noise.
All right.
Just the basically, whoop. That's the noise. Whoop.
Okay.
Yeah, great. But I just want to, I know this is completely different owners, different manager and everything else. I just want to remind everyone how good our start was in 2019-20. In the first 18 matches, we'd lost two. You know, we'd won 10 and we'd drawn 6. We didn't lose until October the 20th. And we won 8 out of our first 11 games. We were still top of the league after game week 27 of 46. So that shows how bad the drop-off was, by the way. But we went a long, long, long period of time with a good start. We were top of the league on 9 different occasions on game weeks. So for 9 game weeks, we were top of the league. And yeah, we fell away. The one thing I would say is everything is different this time round. Literally, ownership, management, players, the vast majority of players. And as Matt said, the stats back it up. If you look at the expected goals table, I know this isn't for everyone, so if this isn't your cup of tea, just tune out for the next 60 seconds. It was brought up on the chat that we all have, the WhatsApp chat. In terms of expected goals, we've got the best overall expected goals for, so we're expected to score more goals in our games than anybody else, and we've got the third best expected goals against. 0.01 goals against better is Derby. So we are on basically almost joint top with them, because 0.01 is the lowest you can go in terms of difference of numbers. So everything backs up the strong start we're having as no fluke. And I think we're all confident that it's not going to be a fluke and that things are going to keep going the way that they are throughout the season. On the flip side to that, if you do want to get carried away, now you can tune back in now if you like. Yeah, so if you want to get carried away, I'll let you listen to some of the bookies' quotes at the moment, because as we all know, there's no poor bookies. Bookies don't get things wrong very often, blah, 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 blah. We're currently favourites to win the league quite comfortably, 9-4, Sheffield Wednesday 10-3. We were second favourites to win the league when the season started. But to finish just in the top 6, we're 1-7. So you put £7 on to win a pound. So at the very least, we should be making the top 6 this season. I'm sure we'll have to wait and see whether that will be the case. We're also odds on, by the way, so more than 50% likely to finish in the top 2. We're 5-6. The only team in League One to be odds on to finish in the top 2. So, which side of the fence that you're on? I'm the whoop. Some people won't be, but those are the stats and the bookie odds. I'll let you draw your own opinions.
So you're telling us we've got a chance, Bloomers, to win the league, top 2,
well,
playoffs.
We've got a chance of finishing in the top 6. How about that?
Well, that's an improvement from the last 3 seasons. So, yeah, I think I'm the same with you, Bloomers. Like, I'm loving it at the moment. Positivity, loving winning game, playing some good football, Kieran McKenna at the wheel and stuff. I'm going to calm it down a little bit. 5 games in, don't get too carried away. I think we're getting carried away, as we know, in the first League One season. As you said, we had a great start that season. I don't know how we, you know, buggered that up, because, well, we were doing really well. Of course, they weren't convincing wins, were they, boys? They weren't convincing, but...
Yeah, this is it. I mean, I don't know. I think expected goals was around 3 years ago, but it wasn't as prevalent as it is now. I'd like to see the numbers from those games, because I think we can all remember very tight games going our way rather than... I know there was a couple of, like, a 3-0 in there, a 4-1 or whatever, but it wasn't the norm, was it?
No. No. I think we only just beat Fleetwood 1-0 and we missed a penalty and all that sort of stuff. I think there's another result as well. Like, we had to score a late goal against Wimbledon. That Portal
Road. The Tranmere game on the 1-2-1.
So, but
it all kind of felt that first season. It felt frenetic. We never felt in control. And I'm still cautiously optimistic. I know I've sort of gushed a bit to all the fields, and it does feel different. So I'm cautiously optimistic because I've been supporting Ipswich Town most of my life, and I've been let down so many times. I'm not going to get my hopes up, you know. But it definitely feels like we're more in control of the games this time round. It feels more meaningful. That would probably be the other word if I'd not chosen solid.
Okay, so we've got refreshing, solid, and whoa. So there we go. There we go, then, boys. Five games in, and we'll see how we get on this weekend against Barnes. We'll bring that into in a second, but we've got the strike coming up now. Bit of fun. James, Matt, Bloomers go head-to-head. Who will get the crown of the strike? James, this will be your first time taking part in the strike. How are you feeling?
Just don't cock it up, basically. Get at least one right.
Yeah, that's always that's a good start. Yeah, good start. Get one right and then go from there. That's always the way. Of course, play at home, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. And that's an opportunity, actually, to plug our sponsors, actually, because sometimes I forget about them at the end of the podcast. But Manscaped is proudly sponsored by Kings of Anglia. Use the code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery. Of course, using the code KOA at manscaped.com. Okay, then, let's get right into the questions this week. And as you know, I'm always a man who likes to celebrate birthdays. And the first person who had his birthday this week was Fabian Wilnes. Now, he scored that famous goal against Man United at Portland Road in that 1-1 draw in the first Premier League season. Now, he scored one other goal in the Premier League. And who was it against? Was it Bradford City, Derby County, or Coventry City? While Bloomers is panicking, you can you can shout out, mate. You can shout
out. That's all right. I've found my notebook. I also know the answer, so that helps.
There you go. That's fine. There we go. But yeah, Bradford City, Derby County, or Coventry City. Yeah, he scored only one other Premier League goal. This was in the same season, by the way. And he didn't score again in the second season. Because I don't think he played many times in the second season, did he? I think we decided to switch. I think Chris Makin came in, didn't he, for him, or someone else came in for him. But yeah, that golden
relation
was. Yes, very true. Very true. Okay, then, boys, what do you reckon? James, I'll start with you, my friend. Who you got? Who did he score against? Bradford, Derby, Coventry?
Complete guess. You know, I don't know the answer to this, but I've gone for Derby.
Okay. Matt?
It's a guess as well, because I can't remember. I've gone, if you can see that, Coventry.
Okay. Bloomers?
Cov.
It is Coventry. It's a late winner. It was a late winner. So good guess, Matt. James, do not worry, mate. First question. So it's 1-1-0 going into the second question. The second question is another man who celebrated his birthday on the same day as Fabian, and that is Simon Milton. How many goals did he score for Town in 330 games? How many goals do you reckon, then? Simon, of course, a long time he was at the club. As a player, then also as a staff member as well. I'm pleased he's now back at the club now after, you know, a few years he was away, weren't he? But now he's sort of interacting again with the club, which is good to see.
On the off chance he's listening, this guest might be an insult to him if I'm completely wrong. So apologies in advance.
We'll wait and see. We'll start with you then, Bloomers. What do you reckon?
I've gone for 41.
41? Now he's a midfielder, weren't he? He was a midfielder, so was he a goal
scorer?
Yeah,
but I'm going for the fact that he didn't score many.
Okay, 41 is not too bad in 330 games. That's one in I don't know.
Go on, Ralph. What's your maths?
One in 9, 10. I don't know. That's too many. That's too many. I don't know. Matt, move on. How many?
Again, this is a bit of a stab because I'm not sure. I've gone 52.
Okay. Now, James, if you get it spot on, you get 2 points. I've got to mention that. So if you get it spot on, you get 2 points. Closest gets to 1 point. What do you reckon, then, James?
I've gone a bit higher. I've gone for 87.
Yeah, that's a bit too high, mate. It's 56. So Matt gets the point. So it's 2-1-0. But good effort, James. Good effort. Okay, then. Question three. He's on a man that celebrates his birthday this week, and he's a different kind of town player. I mean, didn't play as many games, and he's probably a player that not many people remember, and it's Ryan Stevenson. Remember him? Scottish tattooed man under Paul Jewell. Now, what shirt number did he wear for Town? Was it 12, 16, 19? I think James, no, Bloomer was about to write Hearts, because I was like, was that the question? Where did he sign from?
No,
that's fine. Yeah, what shirt number, 12, 16, or 19, Ryan Stevenson? I think he played, maybe he wasn't that long. Okay, Bloomer, so start with you. What do you reckon?
No, I can't change my answer now. All right, 16, but I think I'm 16. Wrong.
Okay.
I think I know what it is, and I think I'm wrong.
Matt?
I have gone 12.
12. And James, a chance to get a point, my friend. What do you reckon?
I've gone 12.
Okay, one of you is right, and that is Bloomers. It's 16. So there we go.
I would have changed to 12. So,
ooh,
I don't know why we all thought that.
Yeah.
I did change to 12. I had 16, and then I convinced myself it was 12.
Oh, there we go. So it's 2-2-0. Sorry, James. So it's now down to the final question. But no, James, actually, if you get it bang on, double the points, it could go to a tiebreaker. So let's see. So in 23 games against Barnsley at Portland Road, how many times have Town won? So closest to the correct answer, as I said, get the point. If you get it bang on, you get 2 points. And if James gets 2 points, we go to a tiebreaker. But I'm sure we're going to gamble anyway, aren't we, boys? One of us is going to gamble when we get to whoever wins this point. Because why not? Okay. I'll start with you, James. Chance to get it bang on. I won't react just in case, give it away and the boys go, write it down quickly and go, oh, yeah, I've done that as well. What do you reckon then, James? How many games have Town won?
I'm going to go for 9.
Okay, Matt?
I can't believe you think I cheated. That's the worst accusation since Hutchie said that we swore it in first on the way to Forest Green.
Yeah.
I've gone 14.
14. Okay, James. Bloomers.
13.
13. Well, sadly, James, you do not get the double points. And the winner this week, we'll still gamble, of course, but the closest is Matt Macon. It's 15 wins against Barnsley at Portland Road in 23 games. That's a pretty good record. So, Matt, you've won overall, but the question is, are you going to gamble a chance of Bloomers and James to steal on the final question? What do you reckon?
I'd love to be a heel and be the first person who doesn't gamble, but I'm not brave enough. So, yes, of course, I'm going to gamble.
Okay, then. And the man that you're gambling all your winnings on is James Norwood. Now, how many goals? Of course, he's returning to Portland Road this weekend with Barnsley. He hasn't scored yet. But how many goals did he score for Town in 88 games? I probably used this question at some point on the strike in a previous podcast, but I've just been lazy again and gone, everyone will forgot about that. That stat is probably out there somewhere. But how many goals in 88 games? As I said, James and Bloomers, you have to get it bang on to win. Matt's just playing for fun now, basically. He's just hoping the boys don't get it bang on. So 88 games, 3 seasons in total. Of course, a lot of them were injury hit sometimes. You love or you hate him and all that sort of stuff. What do you reckon then, Matt? As you're playing for fun, as you are, you're technically one right now. How many in 88 games?
Gone for 21.
21? Okay, then. James, making your debut. Are you going to steal this victory? What are you going for?
23.
23. Bloomers?
I've gone 31.
31. All right. Got my earpiece in. No, Sally, James, Bloomers, you have not got it bang on. It's 28. So close. Close. Close, James is close to 30. No, the Bloomer 30 went. Bloomer's 30 went 31. But yeah, Matt, you've won this week. Congratulations. Take it away. Speech, my friend.
Oh, look at that. That's two in a row in my appearances now. I'm very happy, you know. Ground around that performance there, you know, just got in front, stayed in front, you know. It's very, very happy with that, you know. Go again next week. Indeed. Or not, because who's on next week?
Yeah, very true. If I'm short on numbers, you're my speed dial, my friend. I know you are. You're always ready to get ready to come on the pod. James Bloomers, you know, good effort. And James, maybe not so good, but you'll improve next time you're on. It's fine. It's fine.
Shambles.
That's fine. Shambles. You said as well. You said that in your intro. It's like, just get a point.
James, if it's any consolation, my first two appearances on the strike, I got zero each time. So you've done better than I did on my debut.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Well, boys, transfer deadline day will be happening this time next week. It'll be slamming shut. It's been an interesting window. Last summer, we signed Sam Orsi, Burstenstein, and Christian Walton in this period. It's been a good window. We've brought in some good players. We've seen Matt Penny go out on loan today to Motherwell. Rakeem Harper, the dream. He's still sobbing. He's gone to Exeter for the season. James, as a whole, what's your thoughts on the window? And also, any other players you like us to sign or players that are going out? Any other loan players, maybe?
The window in general, I think, you know, we've done some great business. The signings that we've brought in are great. I've been particularly impressed with Greg Lee. I think he's been absolute phenomenal, absolute athlete. And it's going to be a struggle. I think it's going to be a bit of a headache, even though, you know, Leif Davis was in the region of about £1 million. It might be a bit of a headache for him to actually choose who's going to be playing left back or left wing back out of those two, because I think he's been superb. In terms of anything else in the transfer window, I think we're pretty well set up now. I've got to say, maybe another striker, but again, Ladapo and Jackson have impressed me personally. And I know I'm going to be a little bit controversial here. I know everybody says strikers have got to score goals. But actually, with the possession football that we play and with the amount of people in our starting 11 who can score goals, you know, even, you know, Sammy Morsi coming and pushing in when we're all pushing up and things like that, Ladapo holds up the ball well, and both of them, you know, run like there's no tomorrow in terms of pressing. So I'm going to be a bit boring here, and I'm going to say I genuinely, apart from maybe another striker just as a backup, I think that we're pretty well set up with the players that we've got, all knowing their roles, know what they've got to do, seem happy to be rotated as well, which is, you know, a good thing. Get on in the changing room and things like that. I think we're pretty well set up.
Sorry, I was going off to a different page and then you stopped talking and my page decided to go small. So sorry for that brief little pause. Matt, what do you reckon then? Do you agree with James? I'm actually, this is the first season for a very long time we've got loan players like gone out onto decent loans. You know, Joe Piggott at Portsmouth, Alcon Bagger at Gillingham, Idris Elmazouni at Leighton Orient, Corey Ondarbo at Burton, Rakeem Harper at Exeter, as I said, Matt Penny at Motherwell, and then we've got, you know, a lot of the youngsters gone to Tommy Hughes, Torquay, Albie Arban, Braintree. But it's good that we've been able to loan out these players. Would you want to see any other players maybe leave the club before the transfer window closes, and any other players you'd like to bring in as well?
Penny was definitely one that I was even thinking this morning. He needs to go out on loan. And again, like you say, that's a good loan for all concerned, because we get him out of the squad, which is starting to get a little bit bloated with who come in. We've got players there that aren't going to get near the team. He's going to get minutes from Motherwell, hopefully. I mean, it's a hard one. Maybe Kyle Edwards. I don't know. I've not really seen anything of him because he's come on at games I haven't been to this season. So it's potentially, is he going to be able to get in on that left-hand side? Because like James, I'm very impressed with Greg Lee. First saw him at the West Ham pre-season friendly and very impressed then. You know, I thought he's got to consider himself really unlucky that Leif Davis has come in for £1 million, you know. But I think it's good we've got those options there. Bringing both those in, because we can tactically rotate. And it's not rotation for the sake of rotation like it was with Paul Lambert. You know, we've got options in, and that's what McKenna's looking to do. We've got options all over the pitch where we can rotate for tactics sake. And case in point again, bringing almost said Danny John Jules then, that's his uncle, John Jules in on loan from Arsenal. We were able to rotate Adapo out, and that worked quite successfully against Shrewsbury at the weekend. And again, I'd like to see another striker come in. The George Hurst thing is almost getting as tedious as the Celina thing did earlier in the summer. I just want that decided one way or the other now. I can't really care which way. But again, I think the Dapo actually, yeah, he hasn't got a goal yet. But I'm with James. You know, what he's done in the possession-based football we're playing, what he does off the ball as well, and the way he runs at defenders and that has been a benefit and sort of got being sort of low down where we were on the terrace at Forest Green Rovers the other week. You kind of saw that firsthand, really. So he's definitely making a contribution. I think once he gets a goal, that'll be flying. But again, we've got goals coming from all over the pitch, you know, and how long has it been since we've really authentically had that? You know, we sort of had shades of it last season, you know, with Wes Burns being the top scorer, Connor Chaplin chipping in with quite a few, things like that. But we really... Do we need this mythical 20 goal a season striker? You know, we've not had anyone like that since Daryl Murphy's season, the playoff season in the Championship. You know, we've not really had a on fire striker like that. And how often do you see them at League One level? You know, I'd be happy if George Hurst came in. It provides, and let's say, a backup, another option, something that McKenna can kind of tinker with tactically, depending on who we're facing and what form they're in and what form we're in. But as exciting as the last transfer window is, and I try not to get massively excited about transfer windows, I've never been keen on the big artificial excitement that Sky Sports News bring with the big clock and Jim White sort of basically sort of bouncing off Red Bulls all day long. But as exciting as last season was in terms of, oh, look, we're getting all these players in, I think this transfer window has been really good because, again, it's been meaningful. It's been solid. And like I said, we've got some good players out on loan. It'll do them some good. Joe Piggott seems to be having a good time at Portsmouth so far. I think he scored a penalty recently. Elkin Baggett seems to be doing quite well at Gillingham in League Two. And that's good minutes for him. Very similar to sort of Corey and Darba's loan spell at Salford last season. You know, drop down in division, get some regular minutes, get some lumps kicked out of you. And Dab has only just gone to Burton, so that's too early to tell. Same with obviously Harper off to Exeter and Penny off to Motherwell. But again, these are good loans. I think in hindsight, the loan for Harper to Crewe, he wasn't what they needed for where they were in what was ultimately a doomed relegation battle, you know. And they don't particularly, his fans don't speak particularly highly of him down there. But Exeter sort of come up with a little bit about him so far. They've had a good start to the season. That might be, that might help build his confidence back because let's face it, his confidence has got to be absolutely flat after that goal just ago. And again, Penny going up to Motherwell, he'll get some minutes in. And if they have successful loans, I suppose, if we are going to move these players on in the summer, you know, that's good for the club too because we're going to hopefully make a profit on those players from what we paid for them.
Indeed, my friend. Well, Bloomers, over to you then. Final say on the transfer window as a whole. What do you reckon? I'm actually going to chuck a question in with you actually right now. Macaulay Bonn. I'm sorry, lads. We're talking about him. Macaulay Bonn. If we got offered him, would you sign him?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I don't see where he would fit in anymore. I don't see... You've got to remember, when he came to the club last year, McKenna wasn't the manager. So McKenna had to find a way to incorporate him into his style of play. And for one reason or another, Bond's form cratered when McKenna came in. It's probably the only bad thing, like outright bad thing you can accuse McKenna of, is that Bond's form wasn't what it was at the start of the season. Even though, in my opinion, that form was never going to be sustainable. No one's a 40 goal a season striker in League One. So no, I wouldn't sign him. And I think it was Matt who said it. Like, yeah, a 20 goal a season striker would be nice, but like, A, they don't grow on trees, and B, we've shown the last six games, if you count the cup, although we didn't score. Like, we clearly don't need another striker to create chances because we're doing that plenty enough. And also, we've been scoring a lot of goals recently, and yeah, I think that I can see kind of why someone would want a striker in, maybe as a backup to bolster the ranks a little bit. Excuse me. But you know, I don't think it's as a necessity as some people think, although it's funny that the talk of that has kind of died down a little bit since the last few games because we've been scoring these goals and playing so well. So I think you can only classify the transfer window as successful so far because of how we're doing. And if we start doing badly, then the transfer window is not a success. It's kind of a black and white thing, really, like our new kit. Well, just black.
Yeah. Very good. But because some people go, you know, we need to just bring that more. Because I think we've got enough depth there. You know, I think Cameron Humphrey will basically fit in there. Or Dominic Ball. We haven't seen Dominic Ball play yet. Dominic Ball hasn't played a game yet because he's been injured, unfortunately. But yeah, we shall see. I'm sure Kim McKenna, Mike Ashton, they're working behind the scenes. They'll bring in a player they feel would fit what we need. Because, yeah, before you used to always see the team sheet or you used to see the program. You used to have like 40 names on the program. You're like, none of these are going to play. They're just going to be not even in the A team. We've got Richard Keogh as well. Richard Keogh's about. He'll play at some stage. So there we go. Transfer window will be slamming shut this time next week. And I'm sure we'll do a lot of stuff on the transfer window as a whole later on. Okay then, boys. Barnsley, sixth league game of the season. They come to Portland Road. Michael Duff's side, 16th for League One. And I can't believe they played on Wednesday night. They played it Wednesday night against Leeds, and now they're travelling to Portland Road on Saturday. So they've got only that one day break, and then they're straight away coming to Portland Road. So, James, how are you feeling going into this one? Probably the right time to play Barnsley, of course. Relegated from the Championship last year. Had a mixed bag so far. What do you reckon?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we could play them at a better time, especially in the fact that actually, you know, Barnsley played Leeds and it's a bit of a Yorkshire derby as well. I think they've had what quite a lot of teams have had when they come down from the Championship, which is a bit of a shock, you know. I saw a load of fans on Twitter saying, oh, you know, we're going to absolutely win this league, 100 points, 100 goals or whatever from them. And they've got a really young side as well, listening to the journalist that you were speaking to earlier. And I think they, like I said, it's been a bit of a shock to the system. And I think it will be another shock to the system. Reading earlier that we sold 24,000 for Saturday, I think it's going to be another shock to the system when they come to Portman Road and actually, you know, it is turning into a bit of a fortress, a bit of a cliche. But I think they're going to struggle. I do. I think if we play our possession game, you know, and do what we do best, I think they are going to struggle with tired legs as well. I'd even say that if they weren't playing Wednesday, I think we've got a good chance, you know, of winning. Even if they didn't play Wednesday, but they're coming with tired legs. They're going to come to an absolute rocking Portman Road, I'm sure, to a team that is, you know, got bundles and bundles and bundles of confidence at the moment. I think it's going to be a good day. I'd say 2-0 at least.
I need you to clarify the prediction, James. You have to tell me what you're thinking, what you reckon. So you've gone, you think 2-0. Are you gonna put that down in writing?
Oh, right, there we go. 2-0 in writing. 2-0. Town.
I'll make note of that. Of course, we have a prediction league here with the KOA posse, and I'm top of the league, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Just let you know, top league at the moment.
Stewards Inquiry.
Yeah, technically I do count the points up and all that sort of stuff. I do all the, so, but I am being, you know, I all the predictions get put in the chat, so there's no way for me to be, you know, naughty. Maybe like 20 games in, I can maybe, you know, give them extra point, but I won't do that because what's the point? It's not good gamership, is it? Matt, as James said, Portland Road is going to be rocking another 20-plus thousand there. I think it's 23 something sold already, which is just madness for League One, but that's what we expect now at Portland Road. Barnsley, it's not doing so well. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I just looked up their 16th in the table at the moment. They've lost 3-1-2, and they seem to be 0-8, so there's a lot of inconsistency there. They're losing one and then winning the next, you know, and let's hopefully we'll break that pattern. So it's two losses on the bounce for them. They haven't lost to Wickham last time out in the league. It's madness. This is a League One fixture, really. You know, I was 14. You know, when this was a playoff final for a place in the Premier League. You know, and that was sort of close to the peak of my time as a Town fan. To date, you know, hopefully we'll be back up that way in the future. But I'm confident. You know, it's great. It's mad. We're going to have so many. These attendances we're going to have it. So we've carried on where we left off with the attendances the end of last season. The fact that we're pulling these people in League One, it's brilliant, you know, and it's a sign of what Game Change have done and come in and really reconnected with the town and the wider fan base. And the game itself, I think we're confident. I think we're the consistent team going into this. Never say never, but I'm thinking 3-0, to be honest, because I'm going to be a little bit more adventurous with my prediction, because I went 2-0 for the Shrewsbury game and I thought, oh, well, I'll be here we go. And then Cade Jackson popped up and scored one off his shin in injury time. And I didn't get maximum points for my prediction last week. So I thought, no, I'm going to be a little bit more adventurous, you know. Portland Road's going to be rocking. It's going to be another sunny day again. The crowd are going to be behind us. You know, what I'd like to see us do is what we did last time we were at Portman Road against Milton Keynes, you know, get on that score sheet early, because we need to start games quickly, because otherwise teams will sit and play the low block against us. And we get sort of drawn into a little bit of a war of attrition. So it's like we did against Burton away last week. But yeah, I'm confident 3-0. I think we're going to come out flying. You know, we had a really good time out against Shrewsbury last weekend. We haven't had a midweek game because we're out of the League Cup. So we should be well rested, well trained. I'm expecting another confident performance. You can clip this for next week when it's all gone horribly wrong. But yeah, I'm confident.
Yes, mate. 5 wins in a row. Wow. I think I saw someone put the stat out. I think it's 2003, I think, the last time. 2003-04 season or whatever it was.
Can you remember that, Ross?
Just about. That was my first, like, proper full season. Full season.
How's your first season?
I wouldn't say first, you know, it's just my first, like, full season. You know, I went before that, but yeah. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry.
You're making me feel my age, mate. You're making me feel my age.
I'm sorry. I'm sure there's going to be a young, you know, young Roscoe somewhere is going to, you know, take over my job one day and they'll make me feel old. So there we go. I'll wait for that moment. It'll happen in a few years' time. Bloomers. I keep getting you mixed up. I look at you and then I go, oh, James, and then Bloomers. Bloomers, you're muted, my friend. I know you're trying to insult me there. But Bloomers.
Saying we look so alike.
Yes. What do you reckon then, Bloomers? Are you going to be positive like the other boys? How are you feeling going into this one? Can we make it 5 wins in a row?
I mean, it's hard not to be optimistic. Just purely based on how we've... Excuse me. Ugh. That's how relaxed I am about it. Just purely based on how well we've done the last few games. Barnsley, I'm not quite sure about them having a shock to the system coming to League One, because they've been in League One quite a few times recently. I think it's more just the fact that their squad on paper, I'm trying to word this really carefully so I don't want to sound too full of myself. I think their squad isn't on paper as strong as the other relegated teams. And they've also got a very young manager, Michael Duff, who's on the up in his managerial career at the moment. This is the biggest team that he's ever managed. And it will just take time for things to come together. I'm not going to use the G word, but if you look at like the squad and the signings that they've made, it might take a little bit of time longer than teams like Sheffield Wednesday and Ipswich, who have got a little bit more stability from last season and the lack of turnover compared to, you know, like the season before when we had, 17 out and 20 in or whatever the hell it was. So I do think it will be the biggest challenge so far. I had them on a par with Bolton, to be honest, in terms of how I see them in the end of the season. But we shouldn't fear anybody at all at Bolton Road. The way that we've been playing, the fact that we'll have 25 or 24, 23,000 there again. And yeah, it's going to be a tough challenge, but it's very hard to not say that you think we're going to do a win, because we've been doing it so often recently. So I'll go 2-1. I mean, we are not conceding goals at all under McKenna. That's a staple of our style of play, but you can't get a clean sheet in every game. So if Norwood does play, he'll score, because that's the curse, and get that out of the way. I don't even know if he's been playing for Barnsley, to be perfectly honest. I should have done my research really before. But
he started on Wednesday against Leeds, but then got replaced on the hour mark. So
might be on the bench then, maybe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just can't go against a win. So yeah, two on town. Depends on who he puts out. I'll say a goal for Morsey again, because he's always getting in those positions at the moment. He's so good at the moment at finding space sort of at the edge of the area from cutbacks. He had one, the third goal was come from his shot, didn't it? And he had the chance against Bolton in the first game. And then he decided to become David Beckham against Forest Green and score a worldie. So, yeah, put him down for a goal. And then one of our front three, whoever plays. Because actually, when you rattle the names off, suddenly you realise that we've got a bit of flexibility with Aluko, John Jules, Jackson, Harness, Chaplin. Might be missing someone there, but that's the regular sort of rotation of those three front places. So yeah, one of those five will get the others and get the second goal. Edge of bets.
Or Chaplin, I completely forgot. We signed Chaplin from Barnsley, didn't we? When Barnsley were they finished in the playoffs that year, and then we signed him in League One, and of course they got relegated. But yeah, I always have to remind myself. Sam Morsey, of course, had a spell at Barnsley as well, so he'll be playing against his former club. I think Luke Thomas as well plays for Barnsley as well. Of course, that brief loan spell with us. Had some off-field issues, but then went and did well with Bristol Rovers, and he's doing okay at the moment with Barnsley in League One. So there we go. All right, then, boys. As always, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining me. James, great debut, my friend. Any other business? Anything else you want to cover, my friend?
No, I think that's it. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Short and snappy. Happy days.
Short,
Matt?
Short and sweet.
Just a reminder that it's a double header this weekend in terms of home games. ITFC Women will be at home against Gillingham at the AGL Arena in Felixstowe. Obviously, not the great start last week to season, losing 3-0 to Portsmouth. You were there. I've missed that one, thankfully, perhaps maybe because I was away last weekend. But hopefully we can bounce straight back. And it was really good to see that there was 520 people there. And hopefully the loss won't have put too many people off. So, yeah, if you came down last week, and honestly, they usually win. get back down there. And if you haven't been, why not? If you can, get down there. You can even buy tickets in advance off the club website now. You know, you don't have to just rock up and pay on the gate anymore. And it's still dirt cheap for 90 minutes of football, which is normally pretty good. And Ross's favourite bit is there's a sweet shop there, isn't there, Ross?
There is a sweet shot. There is. So get a sweet shot. And of course, listen to the Track the Girls Talk event already. Me and Blue Wilson dissect the post-mortem of Portsmouth defeat. But we also look for happier times looking into the rest of the season. And you get to know a bit more about me. You know, what's one item I can't live without? And all the other, there's other questions that get, you know, chucked out. So if you want to know, tune in to Track the Girls Talk. Bloomers, over to you. Any other business, my friend?
That was a bit Partridge of you, wasn't it? Flogging the podcast for yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all about me, man.
Him up for that as well. That's the worst bit.
Yeah.
Any chance he gets. Yeah. Not too much for me, to be honest. Unfortunately, family commitments mean I'll be missing Saturday's game. Holiday commitments mean I'll be missing next Saturday's game against Accrington. But hopefully back for the Cambridge game. And yeah, by then we'll be 5 points clear or something like that. So happy days. Yeah, I'll be watching. Actually, the best part is I will be able to watch the Accrington game next Saturday on iFollow from my deck chair in Rhodes. And I'll be able to do it legally.
Don't tell Andy Hull. Don't tell Andy Hull.
I'll be best part is I'll be doing it legally as well.
Yes, mate. there we go then, boys. Well, Bloomers, Matt, James, thanks for joining me. I sadly actually won't be at the game on Saturday. I'm at a wedding with good old Liam from Crew on. He's plus one, so I won't be at the game, but enjoy it when you do. Of course, the game will still have full coverage from good old Andy and Stuart Watson, so look out for all their content online. We'll be back next week for many other podcasts, videos. Of course, we've got the pizza trophy next week. Northampton Town come the Portland Road. So it'll be interesting to see what Kieran McKinnon will do. I'm sure he'll chuck most of the kids out. You never know. Maybe Richard Keogh will make his debut and all that sort of stuff. So look out for that game as well. Deadline day and all that jazz. There we go then. Hope you've enjoyed another edition of the Fan Social. Leave us a review if you haven't already. Make sure to follow us on Kings of Anglia. Make sure to follow the boys on Twitter as well, Matt, Bloomers and James. And thanks again for listening. Bye-bye for now. Enjoy the game.
From true crime to football, Brexit to Oakville. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.